Thus I have heard. At one time, the blessed one was dwelling in royal domain of multitude mountains, a great gathering of monks and a great assembly of bodhisattvas. At that time, the blessed one was absorbed in the samadhi and the aspects of phenomena called profound awareness. At the same time, the noble Avalokiteshvara, the bodhisattva Mahasattva, looking at the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom, saw the five skandhas and their natural endings. Then, through the power of the Buddha, the venerable Shariputra said to the noble Avalokiteshvara, bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son of the lineage train who wishes to follow the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom? Thus he spoke, and the noble Avalokiteshvara, bodhisattva Mahasattva, answered the venerable Shariputra with these words. Shariputra, those men and women of lineage wish to follow the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom should look at it like this. The five skandhas should be seen purely in their natural emptiness. Form is empty, emptiness is form. Emptiness is not other than form. Form also is not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, recognition, compositional factors, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, like this, all phenomena are emptiness, and having no characteristics, they are unborn and unceasing. They are not impure or pure, may neither decrease nor increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no recognition, no compositional factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no sensation, no phenomena. There is no quality of sight, and so on, until no quality of mind and no quality of mental consciousness. There is no ignorance and no exhaustion of ignorance, and so on, until no old age and death and no exhaustion of old age and death. In the same way, there is no suffering, no origin, no ending, and no path, no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since there is no attainment, bodhisattvas rely on and abide by means of the profound perfection of wisdom. And since their minds have no observations, they have no fear. Transcending falsity, they attain nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three kinds are relying upon the perfection of wisdom, and have become true and complete Buddhas of unsurpassable, perfect, and complete enlightenment. Therefore, the mantra of the profound perfection of wisdom, the mantra of insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra which calms all suffering, should be known as truth, for it is not dissembled. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is proclaimed. Teyaza Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasangate Bodhisattva. Shariputra, this is how a bodhisattva mahasattva should train in the profound perfection of wisdom. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and said to the bodhisattva mahasattva, noble Avalokiteshvara, that he had spoken well. Well done, O son of the lineage, it is so. O son of the lineage, since it is just so, the profound perfection of wisdom should be practiced just as you were taught. And the Tathagatas will also rejoice. When the Blessed One had said this, venerable Sharadvatiputra and noble Avalokiteshvara, bodhisattva mahasattva, and the entire gathering, as well as worldly beings, gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas, rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One.
Don't know, First of all, the crucial thing that we need to focus on would be our motivations when it comes to whether it be the listening to the teachings or giving our teachings. So when it comes to focusing our mind in terms of developing the proper motivations, obviously, it is not really confined to the importance or the paramount of the development of the proper motivations, not just to practice the Dharma, but rather, you know, in our day-to-day lifetime, developing the proper motivations to any activities that we engage in our day-to-day lifetime is very crucial. So if you look at the adversity or the chaotic situations you know that occur within our communities, if you trace down the what underlying causes would be, then you will find all of these, the different problems of the adversity that we encounter with is the primarily propelled by the sense of
the grasping on eye.
So, with regard to the consequence that would lead to, as a result of, you know, the emphasizing or the grasping of the sense of I, you know, it is not only it would create the suffering that one would experience within one's own psyche, but also it would contribute to the situations where the other beings feel very uncomfortable with, you know, having interactions with you in person. The paramount problem that we need to really focus on and to tackle with would be the grasping of the self as if there's an intrinsic reality the independent sort of the self that we tend to the possess on.
Dugi nasa di kyubi tenda la jinsen sanan tonbi toni yani jen chinzi ki yun tenti yun chi gogo.
So in order for individuals to counteract this sort of a sense of I, you know, it is very crucial to see others, the good qualities, contemplating on the good qualities of the others would really be a one of the key factor that needs to play a role with, when it comes to counteracting the grasping of the self. So when we usually listen to the advice of the Bodhisattvas in terms of what needs to be adopted and what needs to be eliminated from the domain of mind, you know, it sounds like something, you know, we are talking about or contemplating on some entities which is sort of like a peculiar qualities that is confined to the peculiar qualities of the Bodhisattva itself. It seems, you know, that which is very difficult for us to develop with. You know, in a general sense, when you look at the development of the altruistic aspiration or the altruistic attitude, it makes a very clear sense, and it's very reasonable and it's very obvious, you know, how benefits or the advantages that it could lead to, not just in terms of the not just in a sense of our own kind of the benefits, but also it has the great efficacy on the benefits for others as well. So in terms of the how the cohesion that it would lead to by means of developing the altruistic attitudes towards others, you know, even within the family level, between the couples, you know, if one would make a decision that whatever the individuals want to do, without really depending on your couple, and make your own decision the way you like it. And if you are really doing it, some sort of independently, then how much it would impact on your couple, which is very obvious. So when we are to practice Dharma in the context of the transforming one's mind, which is endowed with all different afflictions, this is primarily the aimed at the benefits that we can produce or the develop the primarily for the purpose of others. So obviously the Dharma that whether we are practicing or we are implementing our intellectual understanding into our daily activities, you know, it shouldn't be the Dharma practice should not be understood just mere gaining, for the purpose of gaining the intellectual understanding, but rather, you know, it should be, you know, study that we can accord with our own, the mental, you know, mental characteristic and the mental attitude.
Do you think that I'm not sure? I'm not sure you're saying she can't so soon, but you're too cheap. You should just have a set of children.
So now let us develop the proper motivations by developing the bodhicitta, the altruistic aspirations to obtain the state of enlightenment, imagining that there are the presence of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas right in front of you. And with these kind of the development of the bodhicitta motivation, then, you know, one should orient one's mind to listen to the Dhamma. So, after we have developed the bodhicitta as the proper motivation, now the teachings that we are going to listen to and to explain is the treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment. So when we describe the Tibetan term Lam, you know, it's which is generally sense is the path that it leads to somewhere. So what kind of the stages of the path that in this particular context that we are talking about? Obviously, the stages of the path in this context obviously refers to the different levels of understanding, and based on that understanding, there are the different the experiential realization that we can derive out of that pertains to the stages of the path that leads to the omniscient mind. So when you talk about the stages of the path, obviously the path itself is the direction toward which that the path is oriented towards is obviously the omniscient mind. So when we embark on the path and then pursue our the ultimate goal, which is the omniscient mind, so when we, whether it be when we are learning as an intellectual understanding or implementing the practices into the daily activities, it should not be something which are carrying out the activities that we are carrying out should not be something the main, the goal, or the our mind should not be oriented towards the exterior phenomenal object or the entity, but rather it should be we are learning the stages of the path, which is within, which is already within our the mental psyche.
Mane tenri shin ba te khare chen ni ba re salo na ni me khar sa tenri la na to de mu de khare chen ni ba re sa na ni da cha tem ba sa cha to ba to ma ni rani la ko ne pe ba ni shi se ni sen chen la ko ne yong go ba de ni ji nga so la pi ti le zi ba na ye ro mo su de zi ne ni shu de chen na sa ju ji re la da
Obviously, when we talk about the lineage of the Lamrim teachings, if you trace down, obviously we can trace down all the way back to the Shakyamuni Buddha, the historical Buddha, who taught the such teachings out of his own experience. And this particular, if you look at the how the stages of the path to enlightenment is composed in the certain, the step-by-step in the chronological order, the way the Buddha understood or the developed the great qualities. So this is how it is, the stages.
Then you know what you're saying. The Nenjo Nye Janya Nye Tia Tansi Tante Chue Chan Tia Chong Sin Lhasa Na Song Maro Ala Na. You know what you're saying. Tante Dei Lanri Dei Dei Na Song Yudi. Nenjo Nye ngarongge nyangle ten de cheba yin ani tandu chirang yin de rang yin yin nyangle chen de shuo se song ba de
so it's the lama song ba
right
yeah the lama song ba says that this is how the stages of the path that I have traveled through and now if you are really seeking the liberation and you should follow the stages of the path that I show to you
ᱛᱟ ᱠᱮᱱᱫᱤᱜᱮ ᱱᱮ ᱞᱟᱢᱤᱜᱮ ᱫᱟᱡᱮ ᱛᱮᱢᱵᱟᱱᱮ ᱱᱮ ᱛᱟᱱᱟᱝ ᱟᱥᱩᱜᱮ ᱥᱟᱭ ᱞᱟᱢᱮ ᱵᱟᱫᱮ ᱥᱩᱱᱤᱜᱮ ᱥᱮᱢᱵᱟ ᱠᱚᱱᱚ ᱠᱚᱣᱟᱞᱮ ᱵᱟᱫᱮ ᱪᱮᱫᱟᱱ ᱡᱮᱵᱟ ᱯᱤᱪᱷᱟᱣᱟ ᱠᱚᱱᱚ ᱠᱚᱱᱚ ᱨᱚᱜᱚᱨ ᱞᱟᱫᱟ ᱪᱩᱠᱩ ᱥᱮᱢᱵᱟ ᱛᱮᱢ ᱵᱤᱥᱮ ᱡᱮᱵᱟ ᱯᱤᱪᱷᱟᱣᱟ ᱥᱮᱜᱮ ᱠᱚ ᱪᱷᱩᱨᱮ ᱭᱩᱝᱠᱚᱱ ᱛᱟᱭ ᱛᱟᱨᱚᱣᱟ ᱥᱟᱡᱮ ᱛᱚᱢᱵᱚ ᱡᱮᱵᱟ ᱛᱮ ᱛᱟᱱᱮ ᱪᱤᱞᱚ ᱠᱚᱣᱟᱞᱮ ᱱᱮ ᱨᱤᱜᱩ ᱫᱚᱞᱟ ᱫᱟᱞᱮ
Okay, when we talk about the first chapter or the categories of the Lamrim teachings, you know, there's a recognition of the showing the greatness of the teaching's author in order to establish that it is of noble origin. So when we talk about this greatness of the teaching's author, you know, this the teaching author, you know, it's not really confined to one particular lama, but also the, all the lineages of the lama that we are receiving from. All the way back from the Lama Tsongpa until the current Lama that we are receiving this teaching from.
Ta saje ni bala danga la kipa chebe chi chu chi chawa sa la yun di ani danga la gabo yun bi tanda la ani chu te le yin ten karu yu le se ta ye te ani saje ni bala wa sa la da chu danga su gyenba teri gyenba chon jo le do
and then if you look at the second categories of the chapter that shows the greatness of the teachings in order to engender respect for the instructions. So here the emphasis is really on development of the very recognition the how great the teaching is, so that we can engender or we can give rise to some sort of the great reverence or respect for the instructions.
Chudana nga soke tanya la chile tepache chile kipache se kyeche yoro ala da.
So in general speaking, there is obviously the reference or paying a respect to someone.
Tepache so na yenten tone tepache kusun ala da.
Obviously, the development of the very respect or the reverence to somebody obviously should be based on the good qualities that you have seen towards that the particular the person that you are paying a respect to.
garden tone kiba se de rani le phento chemo yum jinge jinge na kel kiba che ko la
and you know the respect that you would develop towards other persons and who are that who that you can see as the source of the benefits that you can derive from
digi saje ni ba gi kwal he so na ene ende thobe thone te pa che gre ene garden je se thembe thone kiba che gre la da
so when you reflect on the second chapter and you know you can really see how important it is that to develop the respect towards the teachings that we can derive benefits out of and also the persons from whom that we can derive the benefits
ta sa je song ba de ne che che ba bola ka ka de tin je zang bo ri che nyen ba bola ka de tin je zang bo se de sa je song ba de yong ro ala
so when you talk about the third chapter or the categories it deals with how to listen to and explain the teachings
chude karase na teba chebi chure sala yidi chachen za go de lasa hako ro ala da danga su pang de rin de ko de yang ga ge ba de re do chude kare na so chue chi chenye jawor sa na teba chebi chue chenye jawor sala yidi nyoba de shinge ni la kyono kare go ba de lasa hako ro ala da
so when you think about the what kind of teachings that we are listening to or the giving of teachings obviously the teaching of the dharma that we are having a discourse with is the Mahayana teachings then we can see then how the greatness that Mahayana teaching is
tujine hego re dala da te dogung o chigo ma yin ba tujine so so ji chu nyu shi je bi ko ma yin na ya ji pe sha kono ji ta yun de ne ni te te ba che bi chu ji re sha de la nge te lo ba la ma de tin de zang go re se ji ji chang go la da je da
so it is not only confined to develop the recognition of how greatness the Mahayana teaching is it is not only in general sense it's a development of the recognition that how great the Mahayana teaching is it is very crucial
then kode wone ji shena chono se pandro ne ji deji login na nasa ko de de nasa kalo de pigi mangwa ji ro ani de de la pa ne ji je ne ani so so ge sa na de ji ji ta ro ani sa na ji pa ye cha cha di sa na ji ko go me che ge ro la da ti ki ma ji ta ng ro nasa ko de ji su ma ja nasa lo wa ja ma ja wa che ani de de kha chi le so na la pa la ani so so le ji kha chi lo ne ni ji sa na ji de ji ji ta ng da ko senba la chwa ji le gre de ru jena ma so ya jen lo ro sen ji de sen
so with regard to how the one should
running down a de ji lo on ta na
how one should progress the one's mental continuum when it comes to transforming one's mind by means of studying the dharma texts we should not really launch at the text very without any sort of reflecting oneself reflecting oneself with what kind of the motivation that we have so when we launch at the text
chotsa gare uduje lagu arla da ma nyima nyima ye sabala chwa saba che ye pheto da bodu gani do gudu digi thoshi yong bi da la she go yor ma do ngo tu det ma lo te zosha na zosha ra ro ala da da nyima nyima la so so gi chui ne da la gare phen sa re ro ya je ro gani do gudu digi to ne zo che go la da chue sing de
of course when it comes to practicing dharma whether it be listening to teachings or you are studying the Dharma texts, try to develop the understanding of what the meaning of the text that you're reading, try to understand. We are not just doing it, just reading, as if we are reading a novel or something, but rather we should focus our own mind, whether our mental attitude is in accord with the teaching itself or not. Examining the one's mind in accord with the Dharma teaching is very crucial when you study that. So if you just try to reflect yourself, in terms of like developing sort of the motivations to engaging in the practice of Dharma. So try to just reflect on the real meaning of what the real meaning or the purpose of the life.
That's a good but Dharma ngoje ka sa lama chete te yin ba la ni je na je sa wa shin ye tin bi se da ten lo che da jang yin ba ni je da dong bo den lo sa shin ye ba ni ye bo ne se da na ka sa ti de na ni bo ne bi che ko da ni bo che da ne bi chi ni je ni bo che da ne bi chi de la ni ni bo na ka sa na ji na ja la ge ba che ba da ni bo ne se ngo ji da ni bo ne se ngo de la ni ju bo chung da de mo ya ma ji de ba nya sa ne se jubun reda te mo ya na ji de ba nya sa ne se ju bo chen bi de na ji de ba kasa nga jiri ma nyasa nga tsiye che ta tongpo la son chubi chungi sambha che pa ngon sambha jangwa ngon te che bi tse ene te la loto ga pa che ta tongpo la nye jiten shima tenyo je lo che pa dan jiten shima di tau ten pa ta nga zo ki chubi chungi sambha jangwa tsuwa te la ene jiten shima tenyo je lo che pa singe che ta ene jiten shima dewa yung to ki tau kari yore se tenyo je no ene jiten shima dewa yung ki tau kato te le yore ya sa la da chubi chungi la jiri bi sa che yi kone.
Okay, the four main categories of the Lamrim teachings is how to lead students with the actual instructions. So which has the two categories, how to rely on the teacher, the root of the path, and a brief indication of how to sustain the meditations. And then we have covered all the preceding chapters all the way down to we are on a page, I think the 178 English text. The last that the paragraph that we covered with was the relying on the means for achieving happiness in the next life. In particular, the means for achieving happiness in the next life are explained in two parts: the training in going for refuge, the excellent door for entering the teaching, and developing the faith of conviction that is the root of all temporary happiness and sudden goodness.
Yeah, kasengiman kozolawi juro moji sachi gi kono sema segoro ta kadi sachi kono gi mi ta de gi chana kwal hapu shu ji he gres ni jite sema de tau te ba sengi kono gi godana kwa shu ji yore sen mi se gi lama so tra sunji do.
Okay, it is very crucial to develop the insight into the real meaning of all the different categories that we have covered with, and it's extremely important. The categories such as like relying on the means for achieving happiness in the next life, we should be able to recall all the happiness all the means that we can use, the means that we can develop for achieving the happiness in the next life. Of course, in brief, when we talk about developing the insight into the methods for achieving happiness in the next life, that there are two primary two primary methods. The one would be the coursing or going for refuge. And then the developing the faith of convictions in the law of causality, particularly the law of karma, believing in the consequence of the action that we carry out. The reason why we go for refuge in the three jewels, because we are not in a position where we are able to protect ourselves from the lower realms. Obviously, the objects to whom that we should rely on or to go for refuge, then obviously, you know, we should go for refuge to the ones that who is able to protect us. Of course, the objects to whom then we go for refuge must liberate himself or herself from the sort of the fear, and one who is able to, you know, one who is able to protect himself right in the beginning, and otherwise he or she wouldn't be able to protect us. So obviously, when we talk about the causes of going for refuge, that the two primary causes that one must develop or the recognize are the fear that we have. You know, the development of fear is extremely important so that we can go for refuge. And the conviction, I mean the faith of conviction in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha are the crucial. So in order for us to cultivate the fear of the lower realms or the miserable realm, so we have already covered the chapter that deals with all the drawbacks or the disadvantages or the particularly the suffering that one would experience if one would fall down to the lower realms. The Lamrim, it reads that thus that you must strive to realize these two causes, because if they remain mere words, so will your refuge. But if they are strong and stable, then your refuge will transform your mind. So we want to make sure that to cognize that these two causes are. These two causes are the fear and the development of the faith of convictions. So the base on that, the objects to which that you go for refuge, then there's a two parts. So this is on the page 179. And the one would be the identifying the objects to which you go for refuge and the reason why they are worthy to be a refuge. Of course, when you talk about the objects to whom that you go for refuge, then here they here it's introducing the objects to whom that we should go for refuge.
Ma chogi pyi gi chi na gi chu chogi in chi no jyo yu de sa chi de ri gi ko de wa yu da mi shi ma do da pe chi ta gu ni cha gu la da pe ne jyo yu ngo zo wa chi de sa chi de lo wa de da gi wo na ka re do de ra wa me ba ta shu de so ji yu de la da.
So I'm not sure about how the understanding that you can derive when you read the English text. So as far as the Tibetan text is concerned, when you read the passage or the sentence that reads the identifying the objects to which that you go for refuge, then it would automatically spontaneously propels me to look at the what kind of objects, and it feel like very it makes me feel very exciting about knowing what these objects are. So the text reads, the press in 150 verses says, the one in whom no fault can ever exist, the one in whom all good qualities always exist. So if you are sensible, it is correct to go for refuge to just such a person, to press and honor him, and to abide in his teachings. So if you reflect on the state of Buddhahood, the Buddha that we are going for refuge, if you reflect on the qualities of the Buddha, you will see the state of Buddhahood where all the afflictions and obstructions has been permanently annihilated or eliminated. And also the great qualities that the Buddha has adopted is not going to be astray or not going to be reversed. So in such a person, if you are really sensible, then we should really go for refuge to such a the Buddha that endowed with that peculiar qualities.
Chonagi chuba piyo na tela piyo gogore, teba toyo na tela toyo gogore yas. Chonag tempo chile shugo yena, inchi tela shugo gogore yas.
So, we would come to the conclusion that after seeing the such quality, that the Buddha is the one that who we should really make a confirmations within ourselves, the right objects that we should go for refuge for. And the Buddha would be the one that who we can really admire. And the Buddha would be the one that who it's really worthy to be the objects to whom that we can make offerings for. In general speaking, when you look at the different the spiritual traditions that is available today in the rest of the world, and obviously they have their own sort of the objects for refuge they can rely on, and in their own right, the objects for refuge are perfect from their the point of view. So in the past, in ancient times, so there were such traditions where that you can sit down and have a debate with whatever the philosophical that tenets that is available. So there's a very good system, have that opportunity to debate. So it seems like we don't have that today. So now the question is, how do we supposed to establish that the Buddha is the perfect, and to whom that it's perfect and the worthy to be the objects of refuge. Obviously, we can infer the Buddha's perfectness, Buddha's perfections, by means of establishing that his teaching or the doctrine is very reasonable and sensible and something which we can really incorporate in our daily lives when it comes to counteract the afflictions and so forth.
Kusu chida yana chima nandi chansu tisari yin kachu ki yon semi jubu dhuzi yon tewa de yin semi yon tisari lada.
Obviously, when we are talking about the avenue or by which that we can establish something, there are a lot of things to do with the text known as like a pramana vartika, which that probably all of you have been familiar with.
So kari gona do yersana deja la denshi mulho hatte bi gone ani semi chubi bi do yerala da da te basa chetu bati.
The main reason for establishing the Buddhas to be perfect is by means of applying the avenue that his teaching or the doctrine is the perfect.
Kuro mulho hatte kande chene chabarasana meto sonri ji hodde che yo maiba toma meba ne niji chembu gomba la tene gomba tashe ne ani yete yosu zo ne ani jene ma deja la son shangi ji ruje kogu ma to ji satu to sonri ji.
Obviously, when you look at the perfection of the Buddha to whom that we go for refuge, especially when we reflect on how that perfections come into being, obviously the Buddha was not a perfect forever right from the beginning, but it has their own concordian. It has its own corresponding causes and conditions that needs to be adopted. He has already adopted it, and the one that needs to be eliminated, that he has already eliminated. So that's how the Buddha has obtained the state of enlightenment. It's not something that it arises without any causes and conditions.
Kepa chu dene ene tuse tene chila zoba jawwe salao sona peche ta kanje tawa te so le nyekha yoro ala ta zoba jawwe.
So I'm not really sure. It seems to me that the situation today in the 21st century is not really conducive to create in such an environment or the situation where that we could have the dialectical debate in order to establish the validity of the Buddhahood, among the different religious traditions. I feel like if you really debate and negate the others, assertion of the God or the Creator, whatever it may be, and I feel like there would be some danger of being killed.
To yashu kare to yashu seguro ta kaje na chon do ji na ji ti ji shu ji de ji jo de de ana ji yon su do ba de na ba ji yashu yin ba de ji jo shu sha ge do la da na do ji na chu su ye de de go si ge de la da
la kan de sa
ro wa nge pe de de ji de ji ji jo de ta kaje yashu da ma so yin de wo ji nge ji ja chen de chu ro so ge si ge de la da.
So obviously, when I explain the teachings, I have a sense of confidence, based on my understanding and my perspective, which is developed out of the Buddha's teachings. As if take for granted that the Buddhist teaching is the best in the world. to me. Obviously, this is the particular perspective that I have adopted. So obviously when I encounter with someone who hasn't adopted the same philosophy or the perspective as I do, you know, so when I try to establish something, such as like a Buddhahood, then obviously I see no any common ground that we can settle down, but rather, you know, it would lead to the separating oneself to another. The reason why that I feel that way because even the Buddha, when the Buddha was alive in India, in that particular era, you know, even the Buddha Buddha came to the world, but he wouldn't be, let alone the whole Indian people in India, but he was unable to, you know, convert all the Bihar, the state, the way he was, you know, into the Buddhism. So I feel like it makes really sense, you know, when His Holiness always emphasizes on respecting the different religious traditions that is available today. So regardless of whatever the philosophical standpoint that the individuals, the traditions may have, So now let us read from the text. It reads that, thus, if you can distinguish a refuge from what is not a refuge, it is right to go for refuge to the Bhagavan Buddha, the true refuge. So this citation applies to the teaching jewel and the community jewel as well. So, just as like it reads here, the Chantakriti's 70 verses on the refuge says that the Buddha, the teachings, and the community are the refuge for those who desire liberation. So, usually, you know, when we have the dialectical debate back in the monastery, and obviously we use the some sort of avenue of syllogism, and we would say the objects for whom that we should go refuge to, for those, you know, who seek the liberation from samsara, necessarily to be these three objects. So when you read those who desire liberations, so what is meant by liberation?
Okay.
The liberate here in the liberation is understood in the context of liberate oneself from the suffering of samsara. So when we talk about the liberation from liberation oneself from cyclic existence or samsara, obviously the objects to whom that we go to for refuge in order for us to be liberated, then you know there are three objects of refuge come into picture, so on which that we rely on when we are pursuing the path that leads to the liberation. In general sense, when we talk about when we are pursuing to acquire the basic needs for our survival, you know, obviously we would rely on or we would pursue to seek the material facilities. So in order for us to liberate ourselves from the chaotic situations and or famines or whatever. So now the question is, why the objects of three refuge, the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, is the ultimate object of refuge, which the objects, which is the objects to whom that the one that who goes for, the one who seeks the liberation from, why it is confined to these three objects?
Yako namba sanje pa yena tap debi chinge pa ye ju mare yo bena jewa shima penche dohe menyo yu tada la yani garere kocho sone che chinge ju bu chungyo yada se tapa de se ge mare yo jewa shima ge so ge dong dohe nyo mo ge ge tada ye yani ye tapa de kocho sone lo ge ge ji ro la da ju bu chungyo de se ko
ge ga so
bena namba sanje pa yena tade ju ju bu yi bi chao rang se ge ye ju mare se la da.
Obviously, all Buddhists are not necessarily to be the one that is seeking for the liberation from the samsara. Obviously, when we talk about the three different the levels of three different levels of goals, there are the first, you know, the basic goal, the primary goal, which is to obtain the optimum rebirth of the human being. So one who pursues the Dhamma, one who the practice of Dhamma for the purpose of seeking that kind of that sort of optimum realm, not necessarily that would seek the liberation from the samsara.
Chubu chungi ye laka kare chego re kuyi kate karel kate chago re sana jiwa shima ye sugi donghe de nyomo gubi tanda la ene jiwa shima lato mi gufon tabi tanda la ene jane kushu sola ene jane yanda de kele nye chi chago re da kanje chubu chungi se ne.
Of course, when we talk about the first goal for the one with the small scope, they practice the Dhamma that primarily in order to protect themselves from the falling into the miserable or the lower realms by means of taking a rebirth as the optimum human realm.
Mane thadu ji ji bana ji khonjo so de cha ne ya da yin da ne ko cha ne ya da khade che ne re ko jo so garo yo gre sa lo yu di ne de.
So when we ask ourselves, what are the reasons why they are worthy to be a refuge? And there are the four different reasons.
So
So if you look for the reasons why the Buddha is worthy to be a refuge, worthy in a sense the appropriate to be a refuge, there are the four different reasons.
Tombone so do ate rani she de du is dani jipa me bi kopa tombo to bi she de es te ma ta na jipa jipa la te ba ta as ye jipa ta je le jo ba me ne bi she ro as te ba da lo ro jita.
So here the text reads there are four reasons why the Buddha is worthy to be a refuge. The first, he has mastered himself and attained the sublime state of fearlessness. So if he hadn't attained these, then he wouldn't be able to protect others from all fears. So just as like a person who has already fallen down cannot help up someone else who has fallen down.
Dani jiba may be common tombo tobara was. Yinzane Kunga Sucho Tuguri Mato, Muchi Riduana, reading it, reading a letter and a long tobara was.
So, just as like an analog is given here, just as a person that who has already fallen down has no capacity to extend his or her hands to the someone who has already fallen down, so does. Unless the Buddha has conquered or eliminated all the three different poisons, then there's no way that he can show the path to someone who is already, endowed with the afflictions and so forth. So if you would ask, in order for us to be liberated, is it necessary to be a Buddha? Or is there any other way that the Bodhisattva, that beings like Bodhisattva, can liberate us?
Jipata rirele chabade shanchu sambada dachamba suvata dagi chau tu yue chan rawa.
Obviously, there is a possibility that we can envision for the Bodhisattvas to liberate us from some sort of the fear that we can experience, but not the all fears that is ever exist. Due to the fact that the Bodhisattvas are have the peculiar quality that the Buddha has. And then it reads, the second reason is the Buddha is in all ways skilled in the means of training disciple. If he were not so, then he wouldn't be able to fulfill your needs, even if you went to him for refuge. So if you look at this, the second reasons why he has attained the culminating level of the methods or the mechanism by which that he can liberate the all beings from fear, is the main reason is that because the Buddha is so skillful in using the perfect mechanism and depending on the listeners, the mental capacity or dispositions or the mental inclinations, and that is why when the Buddha was alive and he gave a teaching in India historically, so he did not teach the Mahayana teachings to every listeners that he had. So what this indicates would be because he really emphasized on the teachings, the needs for teachings, that needs, that the needs for teachings must be suited or suited with the mental disposition or the capacity of the listeners. So mm-hmm. that is why that he's very skillful in using the different mechanism. And you can look at the another reason that why the Buddha is Buddha was so skillful. We are talking about the historical Buddha. You know, if you look at the different teachings that Buddha taught, according to the mental dispositions of the listener, you know, you will see that though you know there were such a Vajrayana teachings that where you know if one can pursue. One can really develop the understanding in the Vajrayana system and implement his or her understanding into the practices. And there's a possibility of gaining the state of enlightenment within the one time, lifetime alone. And even there are different the levels of the different, you know, the durations within which that one can attain the state of enlightenment. There were such teachings. So the reason why that he didn't give that kind of the culminating or culminating level or the express level of obtaining the state of enlightenment to everybody is was because he was so skillful to who to talk, teach the Vajrayana system or not. So he was very meticulous in giving a teachings.
Gobuludu is a pepi jet was a Tibachi Vision de Nesanji so Marise, Drew Rachin, Subachundu Asalada.
Even when the contemporary of the Nagarjuna's time back in India, you know, there were certain situations where, you know, there was a rejections of the Mahayana teachings
as the Buddha's words.
So what this would indicate is that whatever the teachings that the Buddha taught was, you know, very obvious that he taught in order to suit the mental disposition of the listeners.
How about the Dijamia Batabalas, Betty Benengawahi? As Katuja and Betty, Go Gashila and Debatu was saying, Betty Yuris and so. Go Gashil Debatu with Junior Yamaris. Did you hear Honson to you? Did you hear
Son Ada? So, if you look at the very the different levels of the teachings that Buddha taught, in history, you will see that there are many multiplicity and the diversity of the teachings, which sometimes, you know, you may find a contradictory positions. And there were certain teachings where the Buddha taught there was an intrinsic reality of the phenomena. And you will also find the teachings where the Buddha would emphasize on no selflessness, or the no intrinsic reality of existence.
Chisu Jonas Zoba Kongi did a Pongi Dream, any Hamahama, the Chosu, any Jema Jemala Peto Yangichi, Roa, Diji Pena, Hisela Tane, Gama, the Hisasa, Oma, the Hisasa, Goma, and Juchu, the Tedician, Pemisi Panipida, Shuji Diva, any Yosu Zoba Kotsi, Pena, Shuloji, Pangeti, Sonaroa, Yosu Zuba Chidri. 도 대보 쉬우지 비다 쉬우지 뒤에 이제 당가 총회에서 쉬우지 제유데 but 유셔 제 명에 치료와 대자 레 동보 안에 상제 살마도 봐도 지 양례제는 미치 양례제 유비를 받지 대사에지 이제 과해 고알살다
so if you look at the three different the what would you call it the wheel of the dharma then you will see you know at the first teachings you know he taught the very basis what the reality is for instance like the teaching such as like the four noble truths and then you know and then later there's a teachings on the sutras you know the professional wisdom sutras and then there are the third the wheel of dharma so if you look at these three different teachings as a whole and you will see how the Buddha taught in you know it's a chronological order in such a way that they would be very reasonable for individuals to develop the understanding depending on the context
pena sanje ge chuju kolo de ba so go ye de kolo tombi ko sala ene de ba ye ba de kolo ene tami ko sa de ma ka sa ba bi ko sa de ma tami ko sala ene kolo ta ta ni ge so ba de ene go ba de to do so re se de chi shi ye de ne ba ta ta le de yo chi ro wa de de jin de so sha ya ba de ji on bi ne ba la de ne
Well, obviously, you may find some contradictions among the Buddha's teachings, but if you are able to comprehend all the Buddhist teachings from A to Z, then you can really interpret in such a way that where you cannot find any contradictions, because you can come to the conclusion that the Buddha's teachings on these multiplicity and the diversity of the teachings were taught by the Buddha in order to suit the mental capacity or the disposition of the people who listen to him.
Ta saje re she da gwale de chara so ye ro so so ge to ne ma gwale de ni ba de kare che ne sa je thol ke ba de so so de gwa je le na so as ke le sa le ba la da
so do you Have you developed some sense of reason that you find after that you have read the textbook here? The second reason, the particular. So if somebody would ask you, what would be the reason that why the Buddha is in all ways skilled in the means of training the disciples? So do you have any answer now?
Somebody answer that. To the temple that they be said yes.
And the third reason it reads here, he has a great compassion. If he did not have it, then he wouldn't protect you, even if you went to him for refuge.
Tuji chenpo se na chedang nyeji chenpo de tuji chenpo deji re senga yere kakare senga cheba yama kaji nyeji chenpo rabu jile kwa lenda jigure lada.
So when you read this, he has a great compassion. The great compassion, the English translation, that is in English translation of the Tibetan term Tukji Chembo, which means the great one with a great heart. So there are, certain debate or arguments, whether all the one with a great heart would entail the great compassions. So regardless of whatever the case may be, so Buddha has the great compassion, the immortal compassion. For instance, when we talk about the arising of such a compassion, the ordinary compassion that we can develop out of the seeing the scabby dogs, who suffer from, a lot of itches and stuff like that, probably, you know, you don't see it here, but back in India, you will see it. So these kind of the sense of compassion, that it's very obvious that we can develop, you know, at certain extent. Okay, and then, so when you enhance that kind of sense of compassion that we can develop towards the particular what the sense of feeling which is like associated with some sort of enthusiasm, you know, taking responsibility that, you know, I would be the person that who will liberate the suffering of that particular dog. So when you talk about this, generally speaking, when you talk about the compassion, which can be seen as two different levels. The first level, we can develop some sense of compassion, in the form of that, you know, which as soon as you see the miserable suffering that that dog would go through, and you wish that, let that dog be liberated from that suffering. So we are not at that level. We are not really taking a responsibility ourselves. I would be the one that who really, you know, liberate the dog from the suffering. And at the second level, not just that, you know, that kind of compassion would extend to at a certain level that you take the responsibility that, you know, I will be the one that, you know, who would liberate that dog from the suffering. So, with regard to the great compassion in this context, it should be understood in terms of the second level, the one who takes the responsibility to liberate others from the suffering. So in terms of the very intensity of the compassion itself is concerned, so there is no difference in intensity. These two different levels of compassion. So you can envision the possibility of, the certain cases where your compassion for any miserable beings, not just that you wish that may they be liberated, but also, you know, you can come up with the development of the enthusiasm.
How would you
see in certain cases when we talk about development of the mental qualities which would arise in on the basis of the certain situations which is really overwhelming. For instance, if you look at the mental content such as like a desire or the attachment or the craving, you know, whether it be craving for the physical object or whatever the case may be, you can envision the possibility of how intensity that one can develop, which would propel the individual beings to give up their own life because of that kind of the force the compelling kind of force.
Sanje sing ide ne ga son la tsewa che ne koro ra me ga cha sa re la da.
So Buddha is in the state of such cases and such state where he feels unbearable to see the suffering of beings.
Tsewa ye ra me ga cha ide rani la dewa cha gre ma do do ge cha ga ma re la da.
So
when
an individuals have climbed up to that culminating point where the compassion is so full-fledged and which would very overwhelming, and that situation where you cannot really see or you can really bear the suffering of others. So obviously, at that point, you don't have really the suffering, but really you have the joyness out of that kind of unbearness that you experience. For instance, if you have developed some love or rather compassion for beings or who is sort of disabled. Let's say that, when you have developed a certain love or rather compassion for beings, the disabled people, you can really develop the sense of the compassion at a very deep level, where you have no sort of recognitions of the flawness of the individual, the disabled individuals itself, but rather you would see that situation as he or she is under the power or under the dominance of the condition itself, then. If you see or if you recognize that conditions, then you would have no problem to arise some sort of bottomless, or just call it. So if you look at the individual where the Buddha or the Bodhisattvas, whose compassion is so deep that where he is unable to bear to liberate ourselves from the suffering, then there's no any drawbacks for us to rely on that such a being, because there's no any sort of fear or there's no sort of inconfidence that.
So we can
really affirm that such a being, if you encounter with such a great compassion, it's very reliable, and you have a sense of sense of certainty that he would never deceive you. So the text reads, the fourth, he is pleased not by material offerings, but by offerings of the practice. If he were not, then he wouldn't act as a refuge for everyone, but would rather help only those who had previously helped
him.
So in terms of how the individual receive the blessings from the Buddha, obviously it is by means of once the practices of the Dharma purely, so not by offering the material objects to the Buddha.
Sāngsīṃ sāsūnā āni yungāpa chālā pīyate kōkuri lādā. Dūpī chāpa sāsūnā āni rāñi yinyāni chāyate kōkuri sāyate.
Obviously, when we use the word sāngsīṃ in Tibetan language, it should be understood in terms of the material inanimate objects, or the inanimate objects such as material things.
Pēnā ngā tsukhiye tērīchī rōwā lādā pēnā kūrū. Shilau ju sati shi ju li pen pari, kuyi gomu mbu 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 chi ndega chi, chunbi chi, kuru jolo la chi megiwa chunjo la shio du na, kuyi shi ju li kekin juwe mewa la da, nguye ni siro la da. Chi misi, ta jiao, kuma jiao ro du na, kuwa la dewa si kekin juwe mewa la da. Shio chi ni roa, gomu mbu ta gomu ki ti, chi sanjian lama gendu, sanjian kanji ya chunbi nyo ke che. Ani, kashu lo jiao sana, kuyi cha jiao, misi ro du na, kuwa la dewa yume ki mewa la da, nguye ni siro la da. Sanjian shilau juwe mdu wa sa.
So if you look at the situation where the individuals, you know, who can offer the material objects, the very mass of the material objects to the Buddhas and Dhammas, that is worth of the $100,000 million or something, you know, if that money, you know, where it come from, if you trace down, if that amount of the money is accumulated out of engaging in the act which is negative or unwholesome acts, then it would be very hard to envision the possibility of getting a blessing from the Buddha due to the fact that there's no sort of the transformation of that individual being into the virtues. His mind is not inclined towards the virtues, but rather is in the form of negativities.
Gomu chi yuchubi che na na pe pase de de ne shang chu ge sen da ji de de ga de na ko de wa ran shi ji pe yin go ro la da ran ji sen le shi de ran shu ji le yin go ro ko do de bo ro la da ko de bo do la da.
So in terms of like receiving the blessings from the Buddha, if we really transform our state of mind where the afflictions arises very frequently, if we are able to transform that state of mind, it is very obvious, regardless of there's a blessing from the Buddha or not, but it really helps us, having the very peaceful and serenity in our life.
Wana nga su ye chi sanse go ne ye ko ke ke me je ne ni du ba chon chon je ne de da de ge de we sa lo wa yin na sa la da.
So then now the question is, how about if we just practice the Dharma and without making an offense to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas? So is that okay?
Te du chi lo wa yin na pe na nga su ge chi ga ne ji le che ro cha na de a wo se ro nga su ta da ga ne ji le che ge ma re la da pe na nga su le tongpo wa sing yi de nyungo tu su rapa shu chenpo te la kar go re sa na son re do go re la da son na yi su de he su nyo do sa do go re sa la da.
So, it is, there's an understanding that at the very outset of the ordinary beings, accumulations of the merits and the wisdom should be go together, hand in hand. So there's a very hard to envision the possibility of develop the spiritual realization at the experiential level without really making the offerings to the Buddhas and Dhammas. So obviously I'm not implying that, you should make offerings to me.
ane di ko de la ane le tong bo la ane so sa de ja che de ne xin de ne ge cha mo le so ya ro.
So
ale so ne si me si sa
gelsa j explicitly state in the particular the Dharma text where he states that so when you try to contemplate on the meanings of the particular words, you know it would be so hard to understand or to comprehend what the meaning would be. And when you try to cultivate some sort of compassions or, you know, such things, you know, it would be difficult to, it is very difficult to cultivate. So what this implies is that there's a very recognition of the importance of making offerings and gathering the merits. So it is extremely to meditate on the particular the spiritual content, whether it be the impermanent nature of the phenomena or try to develop the compassion for beings, it would be very extremely difficult without really making offerings to the without really making offerings. So when I say the offering the material things, obviously it's not, you shouldn't understand, it shouldn't, your understanding should not confine to some sort of making a huge donations or, you know, to giving a huge material things to poor people.
Pena so ji xin de yang la de ba so xi wu ke cha mo so do a le tong bo de sa. So yin yi de de. Yang la de go de so sa ji jiang jie de xin de de ke cha mo so a de sa.
So there's an emphasis on the paramount importance to make offerings by means of engaging in the seven limbs
offering. So if you don't try right from the beginning, if you don't make offerings.
Then, you know, you cannot develop some sort of the spiritual knowledge at experiential level, then obviously there's no blame because you don't even try. Because once you have tried, and then you don't have that spiritual, really, the sort of the spiritual and spiritual knowledge at experiential level, the way that you can have your heart, the mood,
overwhelmed by.
So I don't know if you do it or not, but for me, you know, I find it very difficult to reflect on, to try to try to contemplate on the meaning of the words when I read the text. What about you? So for me, like when I read the text, and you know, I just take for granted, this is what it is. And then, you know, I would just go by whatever the text says. So any questions?
A quick question about the Rinpoche was talking about compassion. Does it arise first in our mind and then the heart opens up? Or is it strictly just a mental thing? Or does it also, does the feeling also come from the heart? Does it first start off in the mind?
The crying is not the ninji kedu zala. Ninju di ane lebanes samotan dos kege yore ki an jik sem dini an jik dos sem ne kene pa chivol pa subina tarjeba shi tuku yore esu. Ane ning ne kene?
Ninju se diro, ninju se di lebanes chege mare, chene chege mare esu lada.
obviously the compassion is not arisen from the mind or the heart.
So let's
take an example. You know, if you encounter with the visible objects, the beautiful, attractive, the visible objects, such as like a flower. So when you look at that particular object, then you have the sense of feeling, wow, that's beautiful. So what do you think that arising from? Okay, another example is when you have developed some compassion or the love for your own mom, so you just try to reflect, try to contemplate where it comes from.
Okay,
at the primary level, you know, when we develop the compassion or the love, so there would be very conditions, you know. For instance, that we have the love that we have towards our own mom and our family, of course, that's relevant with our own sort of the source of the origin or the origin of the where you come from.
So let's
you know reflect on how the compassion arises when you encounter with the particular situations where the beings are in a very the painful sensation, the very excruciating painful sensations. So obviously, you know, when you encounter with a certain situation, right, encounter with the beings who are suffering, so at that very moment, when you arise and when you develop the compassion, obviously there's a basis out there, the exterior basis on which that you reflect on. Then through which that you can develop that kind of compassion, but not sort of the heart, which is the exterior thing that we can be operated and you can, which is touchable. Obviously, it doesn't pop up from the heart. So when you talk about the great compassion that Buddha has possessed, obviously, we are not talking about the very ordinary level of the compassion, which can be arisen from the very conditioned phenomena. But rather, the compassion that is derived or that stems from the understanding, the deeper understanding of how beings are in nature, you know, reflecting on the. I don't know what to reflect on, but something that is spontaneous, the Buddha's compassion. I forgot the one part from the last. Rinpoche exemplified how the compassion, how much the great compassion the Buddha has developed is more or less that we can understand through the very ordinary compassion that the mom would develop for her own the beautiful very adorable child, the son. So now let us dedicate the merits that we have accumulated out of engaging in the act of the Dharma practices. Let's dedicate and let's pray that reflect on the fact that the reason why that we are still in the fluctuations of the emotional state that we experience through in this lifetime, which is characterized by unsatisfactoriness. And so now today that we have listened to the teachings and we have that great opportunity to listen to the teachings and develop some sort of insight into the refuge, the perfect refuge to whom that we could rely on. So after they've developed that kind of recognition, so from now on, we make some sort of commitment or sort of, commitment within our mind that these are the three objects that we could or we should, I will go for refuge for and lead my life, the ethical, sound way of life, the purpose of obtaining the state of enlightenment, not just for yourself, but also for liberate all other sentient beings.
ཁྱི ཁྱི དང གྲོད པ ལ ཕྱི 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 དང གྲོད པ ལ ཕྱི